So thinking about Japan and the charitable giving that's been motivated by the disaster there, more than a generation ago, you may recall the pop star benefit concert was a bit of a stretch. Here's George Harrison speaking to the media back in 1972 about his concert for Bangladesh to benefit refugees from the Pakistan war that created Bangladesh.
All I'd heard, you know, I mean, up until the time we decided to do the concert, there'd been very little that I'd actually read about it. I'd read little pieces here and there. I'd heard a little bit on television in England. No, it's the same. I mean, it just happens to be East Pakistan now, as far as I can see. It happens to be that which we're doing the benefit for. It's particularly a bad situation there. But, I mean, it does happen all the time. You know, this is happening everywhere.
My sweet love, my love.
That performance is actually from that concert for Bangladesh in New York in 1972. It raised $250,000 in aid, which was a big deal back then. Since then, of course, pop culture charity has become better produced.
We are the world. We are the children. We are
the Live Aid Initiative benefited victims of African hunger. It made a lot more money and launched what has become something of a global ritual. The disaster happens, and call out the rapid response celebrities.
Imagine all the people living life in peace.
That's Madonna singing John Lennon's epic Imagine. Elton John and Eric Clapton, Brad Pitt, George Clooney all took part in the Celebrity Pack 2005 Tsunami Aid Concert to benefit victims of the Indonesian Sri Lankan disaster. It brought in an estimated $5 million within just a few hours. And on Sunday, Sean Lennon and Yoko Ono will join other musicians for one of three Japan benefit concerts planned right here in New York. In a connected world, giving aid to the unfortunate is a 24/7 proposition, and sending money is now as easy as composing a tweet on a smartphone. Is this kind of global ritual, though, a smart way to transfer wealth from the haves to the have-nots in times of emergency? Joining us is Sandra Schimmelfeneg, author of the blog Good Intentions Are Not Enough. She's speaking to us from her home in Salt Lake City, Utah. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning.
So what evidence do you have that there's a dislocation in the needs that a nation like Japan has and the impulse to actually give among the nonprofits out there?
Right. Well, Japan is doing an excellent job of responding to this disaster. There are some issues, mostly concerning fuel, but they have invested very heavily in disaster preparedness and in disaster response, and they're the third largest economy out there. So Japan itself has not actually issued any type of an appeal for assistance. They are accepting financial donations, some of them that are given to them, but they haven't requested assistance, and neither has the Japanese Red Cross. They've said that they have appreciated the donations that have been given to them as a sign of solidarity, but they, too, have not issued an appeal for help with the responding to the disaster.
Now, is that an argument to sort of commoditize global guilt in the sense that disasters happen, people want to do something, so then we should have them do something, but put it more in an account to be allocated by people with more of a strategic sense of where this money ought to go? Is that what you're arguing?
Yeah, that's exactly what's coming up with this. We have some disasters which we call the CNN effect, where they are very visual, they are immediate onset, and they really do bring out this desire to help, which is great. But that desire to help is not always in proportion to what's always needed. Where there are other disasters that in some ways are worse, but they're a slow onset, they have to do with conflict, they're not as visual, and they can really suffer from underfunding and not having the money that's needed to respond to them. So it's really disproportionate where the money goes. If it could be put into more of a general fund and then allocated really based on need, then people would still be able to help, but they'd be able to help where it's most needed as opposed to what gets the most media attention.
Live from Salt Lake City, we're talking with Sandra Schimmelfeneg, author of the blog Good Intentions Are Not Enough. Do disasters present an opportunity to achieve tax-exempt status for perhaps aggressive nonprofits that come into existence for something like this?
Yeah, they do two things. A lot of nonprofits are started after a disaster. It's very easy to fundraise at that point in time. And a lot of people also have a connection to that country. They've either lived there or they have family members there. And so there's always a rush to start nonprofits after a disaster, which is a real problem because after a disaster is not the time to learn how to do aid and response. You don't want to be learning when people are at their most delicate, their most fragile. The other thing disasters do is they open up an opportunity for nonprofits to move into countries that they might have wanted to operate in.
That's interesting. Well, before we go, then would your advice be to people who want to help the Japanese to say resist the urge to earmark your money specifically for Japan, just give to a general fund and let somebody else decide exactly how it's spent?
Exactly. Pick a charity that you trust, give to their general fund, and trust that charity to spend it where it's needed the most.
Sandra Schimmelfennig is author of the blog Good Intentions Are Not Enough, a critique of nonprofits' response to disaster relief. From Salt Lake City, Utah, thanks so much.
Thank you.